and love and peace to you. Yes. Can you hear me now? Certainly. Okay. All right. Well, I like to kid Pastor Rick because usually, except when, as he said today, when it's 117 degrees outside, the heat doesn't bother him. And usually if it's like 75, 80 degrees, he's got a coat on, right? Especially his Rams Super Bowl coat he has to. Yeah, I know. But, yeah. But, let's forget about that. I don't want to talk about that. Baseball Cardinals, but yeah. All right. But anyway, the sermon title is Handling the Heat. And I'll never forget it. The week before Harvest America, I was kind of worried about going because that whole week I'd been sick in the afternoons with the heat. And I tried hydrating. I tried drinking water. I tried Powerade. I tried all that. Still, by the afternoon, I'd get sick and not feel so good. So I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I can go. And thanks be to God, it was a great day there. The weather was much more calm or less more cool that Sunday than the Sunday before and the Sunday after. So I'm always looking for tips on how to handle the heat with my air conditioner kind of going goofy in my car. So anyway, that's what we'll talk today about. Not physical heat, though, but when the heat is turned on in our lives, the heat of affliction, the fiery furnace that we all have to go through, how do you handle that? So we're going to talk about that. But I have a request. And Kathy, can I put you to work a little bit later in the sermon to do something else? In addition to that other reading, can you come up here a little bit later? And can you read, I would like for you to read Hebrews chapter 11. I lost it, I had it here. Because I need to switch into my phone. But Hebrews 11, and if you could read verses 33 through 38, please, when we come to that, okay? Because I have to switch to my phone and go to a song where we'll have an uninterrupted flow that way. Okay, so you heard the story that Kathy read. This guy kept Nebuchadnezzar a piece of work, didn't he? I think he needs to go on Dr. Phil's show. This guy, he's either promoting somebody and all full of praise to God, blah, 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 and yes, you're going to get promoted and everything, all the finest food, the finest this, that, or he's going to cut people to pieces, throw them into a blazing, fiery furnace, or later a lion's den, right? It's like, you never know with this guy. Have you ever been with somebody? You never know one day or the next where they're going to be. So you kind of go and you kind of feel the temperature of the room, right, to see how they're doing. Are they in a good mood today? Is this a good day to talk to them? Or maybe should I wait? Yes, we do. You with me? Yes. Oh, yeah. We certainly do. Yeah. Well, anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, he would be certainly a classic case of a leader who had some issues, shall we say, and trying to work them out while he had nightmares and dreams and everything else. This guy's a mess. So anyway, he had heard the dreams that Pastor Rick had talked about last week, right? And Nebuchadnezzar heard about that. Well, then he decided instead of just all these other kingdoms and God's kingdom being number one, he wants to be numero uno. He wants to be number one. He says, I'm number one. My kingdom. So he erects this image, 90 feet tall, in the middle of wherever that plain of door is, whatever it is. Okay, he's got this big shrine, this image of a false god. Not only that, he's going to have this big ceremony. And it's funny, as you read that, they make great pains to elaborate all the different instruments that are at this event. Oh, I guess it did take quite a bit to bring all the instruments together. On YouTube, there's really a neat sort of a flash mob of an orchestra coming together in a European city, downtown the town square, and you have this one girl put some money in this guy's hat, and the one guy with a cello starts playing. And as he starts playing, here comes some more people from the orchestra. Here comes the drums, and here comes different instruments from all over the place. Suddenly you have this whole orchestra in the middle of the downtown square playing a great song. In fact, it's, what is it? Oh, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. So it's kind of fun to watch that this band comes out of nowhere, and it's just beautiful, and you have kids out there playing and enjoying this song and really enjoying all the orchestra. Well, here you got all the orchestra having this big ceremony, but to a false god. And, of course, the edict, the big command, this guy's a big talker. He says, if you do not do this, you'll be thrown into a blazing fire. He must sit up at night thinking of different punishments, right? So if you have lions down, blazing fire, cut to pieces. That's a piece of work, like we said. So he's got this edict, this order, that this is going to, you all have to worship and bow down to this, or else. Now remember what happened last week. Remember Daniel not only interpreted the dream, but he he had the actual dream given by God and a word of knowledge, right? God gave him the exact dream, exact interpretation to give. And he gave all praise to God. Everything's fine. Nebuchadnezzar promotes Daniel to the highest positions, and Daniel doesn't want to forget his friends. When he has a good, successful day at work, he wants to have his friends enjoy it, so they were also promoted. Everything's great, right? Well, that only lasts so long, because here we have this, we got some jealous people out in the audience out there that did not get promoted and were kind of put down. So they used this opportunity and they said, oh, see those Jewish guys over there? Uh-huh. You happen to notice they're not worshiping the image that you erected, God, and you're the one that commanded all this. And look how they're denouncing you and despising you and not working for you. Now, they worked for the king as long as he was not issuing something against God's word. In fact, the apostles said in Acts, we must obey God rather than men. So we obey as an authority unless they give us an order that's against God's word, right? Then we say, no, we obey God. So that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They did not bow down. They couldn't bow down, right, to this God. There's no way. Well, these jealous people said, oh, look at this, and they had to make a big deal of it. And how do you think Nebuchadnezzar handled that? That somebody in his kingdom would not obey him in every little detail. He was not happy. In fact, he's furious with rage. He's boiling over. Here we go again. Another bad day for Nebuchadnezzar. So he's all upset, and he's angry, and just having a real cow, if you will, about the whole thing. So Nebuchadnezzar confronts Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he says, what's this I hear? I'll give you one more chance with all the different instruments and everything else. And they start playing, striking the band. You've got to bow down, or else here goes the blazing furnace. The heat will really be turned on, and you don't want that. And then what God will be able to help you? He said earlier about the dream, there's no God among the people that could help out. Wrong. And today, he says, well, what God can help you? Well, there is one God. Maybe not Nebuchadnezzar's God, made of gold, right? But there is one. How great is our God, we just sang about, right? Who can do. Nothing is impossible with our God. Our God is able, right? He's all power. Nothing is impossible with God, the Bible says. Nothing. Virgin birth, no problem. Raising someone from the dead, no problem with God. Healing cancer, sicknesses, no problem. Restoration, no problem. Going to heaven, no problem. Because God opened the door through Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God is here, right? His reign is here. And what's sad is that the church can make this great message in a sleepy little pious platitude. But God is here. And without Him, what are our lives like? But with Him, what an adventure, what a difference it makes to follow Jesus Christ and be part of the action of God's kingdom. To see miracles, to see things happen, and have the faith to believe, even when things are dark, and yes, even when it's hot, when the heat is on, when the affliction, and we're in the furnace of affliction, in the fire of our own lives, God is there. He's right there in the middle of us, right? In fact, in Isaiah, it talks about that if we go through the fire, He will be there. If we go in the floods, they'll not overwhelm us, that God will always be with us, and that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Thanks be to God, right? Okay, so we've got this standoff here over this idol. And we've got an issue. We've got a problem here. But not for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, if we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Why did they say that? You think, well, I would think I'd want a public defender, a private defender. I'd want all kinds of legal advice. I want people defending me, standing up for me. I want letters of reference that I'm a good guy, that I work for the king. They said, we don't need anybody to defend us. Why did they say that? And if you've got God, that's all you need. That they knew, because they had a relationship with God, day in and day out, because they had this great relationship with God, not just waiting for things to get bad, but day in and day out, at least 15 minutes a day in the Scriptures, and having this fellowship and walking with God, they knew He would not leave them now, because He never leaves us. No matter how bad things get, it's not like God says, oh, this is too hot for me to handle, I'm out of here. Some false friends we might have act that way, or relatives say, well, yeah, I know I said I'd do this, but sorry, can't do it. Good luck. God doesn't do that. He is faithful. God, our God is a faithful God. He is totally reliable. And that seems to be an old word gone bye-bye, right? Reliable.
faithful.
Somebody you can count on. So they said, we don't need anybody to defend us in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O God. But even if he does not, we want you to know, King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So they said, we're not going to do it. Sorry, King. We'll obey you in every other matter. Not when it goes against God. No can do. They didn't vacillate. They didn't go, oh no, what do we do here? They just knew that God would be with them. He's able to save them. And he has the power to rescue them. And we talk about rescue. Jesus for the rescue. That's the theme for our Vacation Bible School. It starts tomorrow. I hope you brought your strawberries and everything else on the list, because we're starting it tomorrow night. And looking forward to that. Jesus to the rescue. And, of course, once again, I'm the setup guy for this whole story, because Pastor Rick gets to tell you the good news next week. I can't tell you the rest of the story. We got to let you hang in the furnace for a week. But isn't that like God, though? Sometimes he lets us hang in the affliction for a week. He says, okay. He doesn't just say, oh, we'll take that away from you. Oh, yeah, we'll take that. The Bible talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? So he gets us through it. And the three men in the fire furnace, they're going, God can do it. But even if he doesn't, we will not serve you. We will not. We want you to know, King, we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold that you have set up. So that brings us to the chapter in Hebrews. And there's two different categories of people that we're going to talk about here. And thank you, Kathy.
Through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated as the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. So you'll see there's two different categories. Not men and women, but those who were rescued miraculously, and those that were not, that had the faith to sustain and believe and trust God no matter what happens, right? Sometimes we have people here who are healed, and sometimes they're given supernatural strength to get through whatever God has them to face, right? Some people are miraculously delivered from any hunger or cravings for alcohol. Others have to struggle with that. Sometimes a person comes to Christ and they no longer can say a bad word because God just takes that desire for nasty language totally out of their vocabulary. Others have to struggle with it. So it just depends. But through it all, God is still there, right? And I wanted to read for you the lyrics of a song that we heard at the Harvest America about a month ago here at the stadium. And it's by Mercy Me, and it's entitled Even If. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right, but right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can, save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. And he's referring there to another song that it was written about 1800 by a pastor who had, I think, two or three family relatives die in a tragedy where an ocean liner went down the bottom of the sea. And after that happened, he wrote this hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Can you say that? Can I say that? That no matter what happens, it is well with my soul. The world doesn't have that as a priority, right? Like, well, we say the main thing is, how's your soul? Are things going well with you and the Lord? How is your soul? Is it prospering? Is it well with your soul? What does the world say? How's your bank account? How's this? How's your fun life? How's your party life? How's this? How's that? How's everything going? How are the promotions going? All that's what the world places as a priority. This is, it is well with my soul, right? And in 1 Peter, Peter, who really changed a lot, he changed a whole lot. Used to be the one that was going to lead the revolution against the Roman authorities, ready to use the sword, even cut off that guy's ear, Malchus's ear one time, right? He was always ready to do battle, but then when it came to standing up for Jesus, I don't know that guy, don't know him, you're on your own, Jesus, right? But then, here, in 1 Peter, he writes this about affliction and dealing with it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And this is the important part. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that your faith may be found genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We can have that joy. We can have that peace. We can have that faith no matter what, right? And so these three men in the fire furnace, once again, give us an example of what? Faith, right? That's the theme of this book so far, I think, is faith. Unshakable, immovable, rock-solid faith that is not dependent on circumstances, being promoted or demoted. It doesn't matter, because God is in it all. So that's how these men could handle the heat. Now, what about us? How do you handle the heat of affliction and difficulty when you have a day where you get everything hits you? It was like 2 Mondays ago. I went into the office. My daughter was having a crisis with her boyfriend, and this surgery, the stitches opened up, and she needed help when her air conditioning was not working. She was going to have to shut down. I had a teenage client throwing up blood, had a 5-year-old that had open heart surgery, and where it was iffy. Had a woman just found out who was pregnant, who was on drugs, and DCS was going to take their 16-year-old away. And another dad that thought he was having a crisis and didn't, took his kid to Touchstone and demanded to see me immediately. All that happened within like an hour and a half on a Monday morning. Talk about a Monday morning. When everything gets thrown at you, we all have that, not just me, we all have situations where you get one thing after another, after another, after another. There's only one person that can help you out. There's nobody can say, well, here, I'll take this. And we have to rely on God, right? So God, get me through this one thing at a time. And He did, and He does. And we all have our testimonies, but how do you get through those days when you have one of those days? Prayer? Prayer, exactly. Not just prayer, but like what Daniel did last week. He asked for a prayer with his friends. So we're not alone. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's reading the Word of God, praying, having fellowship, communion. And actually, I walked out to the parking lot. A lot of times when I talk to Pastor Rick, I say, sorry, Rick, I got to leave here, and we'll take a walk out in the parking lot to talk about whatever. And I'll take a walk to my car, maybe sit in my car, and then until somebody thinks I'm pulling out. I say, no, I'm not pulling out. What are you doing sitting in your car? And that's a long story. Maybe I can witness about that later. But we have to find that place. We have to find the place when the heat is really on, when we can get refreshed by the oasis in the desert, the cooling presence of the Holy Spirit that calms us down, that brings refreshment of the Word of God. Open up the Word, the Psalms, or whatever, and find a word from God for us for that moment that gives us strength. Because He promises, just like the manna that fell every day in the desert, when we have that manna, we need to feed our souls on the bread of life, who is Jesus, right? With the music? Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was K-Love or KFLR has a 30-day challenge, right? We're listening to nothing but Christian music, and they're talking about all the testimonies of people who really did do that, how their whole attitude going to work was completely different when they started doing that. So it's all about God, having God in our day-to-day, minute-by-minute life, not just on Sunday morning. We go, see you, God, see you next week. We may say that to the pastors, but not to God. We don't walk. I wonder if people subconsciously do that here. But God's here. Bye, God. See you next Sunday. I don't want to live that way. No way. Say, God, don't stay here. Come on. We got a lot to deal with here. I need you. And that's a desperation that we find from people in jail. A lot of them are desperate, right? And you had a great service Saturday. Awesome. And when you have people hungry and desperate for God, that's when things happen. The Christians that are being persecuted, that's the church is really alive. We can just say, okay, yeah, whatever, Pastor. It's about time now to end this up here. Yep, let's go. There's not even a football game. There's not even much going on today. But we need to rejoice and celebrate His presence because we need to, it's like our gas station. If we get fueled up right now with our faith, right? And then we go out in that world, that hot world. No matter what the temperature is out there, God says, I'll be your air conditioner. I'll be your support. I'll be your shade. The Bible talks a lot about in the Old Testament about being our shade and being our shelter and our rock. And we thank God that He's with us, yes, even in the fire, even in the blazing fire and that fiery furnace that we all have to go through. And may God be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.